Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Hello, I'm Andrew.
And I'm Jess.
And welcome to Musicals with Cheese, a podcast where we talk about whatever I damn want to.
A podcast where I try to get Andrew to like musical theater.
Sure, if you want to do that.
This week's a little different.
Okay, this week is very different, so we should probably explain ourselves a little bit here.
So I bet y'all just saw the title and was like, what the fuck is Tiara?
Yes. So I want Jess to start this one. Jess, why don't you tell us why we're talking about this?
So I'm going to tell y'all a bit of a story.
Okay, here's the story.
So one day, Andrew's like, hey, this band thing I like released this new album, and I think it really has like a lot of musical theater elements. And he was just recommending it to me. And then I was listening through it, and literally I got flashbacks to Anais Mitchell's Hadestown album, and I was like, I could see this on stage as a musical. I think this is a very effective, like, story. And I told Andrew, we should probably do this on our show. And he's like, really? And I was like, yeah, I think this could work. Because it is a concept album, and let's remember that Jesus Christ Superstar, Hadestown, Evita, all of them started as concept albums for, like, the rock and roll age. And this is a metal concept album telling a story in a very similar way. So I think it is perfectly apt for this show.
And I guess Jess gets to pick whatever the fuck he wants to talk about on this show, so I'm just here. I will be the one giving a little bit of history this time, since I'm actually the one that knows more about this than Jess.
I don't know a goddamn thing about this, aside from I really love this album, and I have so many ideas of how it could be transformed to stage that we'll go into later.
Okay, but I'll start with the brief history, and we're going to keep it real short here.
Keep it short.
Okay, the Seventh Wonder is a band that started some time ago. They haven't released an album in about 8 years, and suddenly they come out with this. It's their second concept album. They did have a previous concept album, but this one is the one we're talking about, so here we go.
Now, what is the basic plot of Tiara?
Okay, since there's no real official synopsis, this is basically entirely interpretation from me, but it's based in very heavily on the lyrics of the songs, and I think Jess is going to chime in a bit as well with his opinions on it.
I will.
The plot is that there is a group of godlike beings called the Everones who come to Earth and give a warning that they are going to basically kill off humanity because they deserve it. Humanity freaks out and decides that no, they're not, because humanity is invincible. And then a young girl named Tiara rises up and decides that no, we're not invincible, and we need to talk to them to convince them not to murder us all. That's about the basic synopsis, I would say.
Yeah, literally, that has everything that you would have. You have a villain, a lead, and a conflict. Basic storytelling.
Very basic, yes.
And everyone has their goals very specifically laid out through songs.
Jess, why don't you add in what your interpretation was, or is it just the same as mine?
It's not too far off from yours, whereas I think you interpret the dream machines more as like the masses of people believing that they're invincible. I interpreted them as like a higher, like 1% saying as like, these people can't take us down, we're too powerful. Like upper echelon politicians saying like, we shouldn't do anything because no one can bring us down, where they're hubris. Whereas the lower people, the Tiaras, people closer to her level have more opinions, more close to hers.
Now, the only reason I somewhat disagree with that is because the song Against the Grain implies that she's going against a lot of people, not just against a small few. But again, that still could be potentially accurate. It's vague enough, I think.
Well, I'm thinking from a storytelling perspective, and I see these dream machines as like the priests from Jesus Christ Superstar making decisions on behalf of everyone, and sure, they have their big supporters, but you also have the dissenters.
I think that would make more sense, as if this was actually put onto stage, that would have to be how it would be done, I think.
Mm-hmm. And basically we have these huge villains, these aliens basically coming down, threatening the people of Earth and demanding that they like be destroyed immediately. And everyone, like, it's almost like Greek mythology. They're like, we have this one girl that we need to send up and basically have a conversation with, in the most nonviolent response to like such a drastic world ending event.
Well, in all reality, what are they going to do?
Yes, but that seems like such a Greek mythology way to respond to like such a.
But taking your interpretation of these higher ups, I think that the tone changes a little bit, in that it's almost arrogant of them to think that this would work at all. Like, it's just so absurd. They're going to send a little girl to talk to them, and they're like, yeah, we're going to win. we got this.
And they're so confident, especially like in like Victorious and Tiara's song. Like, the people are like, oh, this is going to be great. Thank you. And they treat her basically as a god for a little bit. They worship this little girl that is to be sent up to the Everones to be basically a human sacrifice if her debate doesn't work.
There is a big twist at the end, though. And I think we just go right into it because we always spoil everything we talk about.
Yeah, we do. Overall, we both recommend this album. Listen to it.
Yes. But yes, big spoilers. She doesn't succeed. She fails. And this is where it's a little bit up to interpretation. The Everones either kill everyone and the world ends, or they potentially allow some people to survive. I think there's some room for that as well. But they do end up destroying most of the world, at least.
It is a down ending where this little girl who everyone put their faith into fails so hard.
It's this is a recurring theme with the Seventh Wonder concept albums, though, as the last one was also a gut punch. Just miserable endings always.
And I think it's a really effective gut punch, like especially how they build up. Like, I was so expecting like mild Victorious to like Victorious Tiara and like an emotional climax to like a bittersweet like she rules.
Well, it just goes right into it.
Yeah.
You have that, I think, beautiful song, The Truth. And then it just boom into like. Just despair immediately.
And the message behind it is just like, no matter what hope you have, like, you're fucked.
Now, I think we've talked about that enough. And I think what we should actually talk about more is less just the album and more what people of this podcast will be more interested in.
Well, I want to talk about song by song really quick before we talk about that.
Oh, sure. Yeah, let's do that.
All right. So the album starts with Arrival, which is basically the Everones coming to Earth. And I imagine them as like this giant spaceship or like some dramatic thing coming down. And it fades beautifully into their like lead song, The Everones.
They are immortal beings that are super powerful, and they have deemed humanity selfish and just they don't deserve to live, basically.
Which is basically where we are right now, but especially in America.
Well, that's I feel like that's always a good trope in science fiction in general, though. The whole story is reminiscent of stories like The Day the Earth Stood Still, stuff like that.
And then, like anyone would do in these dramatic, like, world-changing event where the aliens are coming down and saying, we're going to destroy you all, fuck you, and all that, the higher echelons are like, nah, we'll be fine. North Korea isn't going to blow us up. We're invincible.
We are the immortals.
Mm-hmm. And they have their song, The Dream Machines, which basically means that we're the bomb.
We are the immortals, is what they say, literally. Following that is Against the Grain, where Tiara basically says that she is she does not agree.
Still I see this is a dream.
What? How would you describe the next song, Against the Grain?
That's just Tiara basically comes up and says she doesn't agree that we are invincible, and she thinks that we actually have some splaining to do, essentially.
I think that's a really good I Want song for her.
Well, I don't know what that means, but if you want to go ahead.
Well, an I Want song in musical theater states the main character's purpose and goals.
Okay.
And I think Against the Grain is a really effective way for her to state, this is what we should do, this is what I want, and this is how we should go about it.
I would agree with that.
And really, I think that is the moment the story really gets, like, up to that we get like a bunch of setup all for this build up to Tiara coming out and saying what everyone should be thinking.
Yes.
And then we go into the townspeople claiming her to be basically the Messiah to save them all.
Yes. Are you talking about the next song, Victorious? Well, I would say Victorious is basically the same people that sang Dream Machines, essentially deciding that, oh yeah, we'll just send her and that will make all the townspeople happy, that will make her shut up about this and we'll win. Mm-hmm. Essentially,
it's a win-win, like if they go up and save the world, we win. They don't, we're invincible anyways.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then they say send her up, and then everyone in the town worships her like a messiah.
Yeah, and they write a song for her and everyone's singing and partying, and this is like a three-part song. Not that they really lead into each other, but that they're all, I interpret that they're all happening concurrently, essentially. They're all at the same time.
I thought they were sequentially. Like, she's being worshipped, and then, like her opinion from the people, and then she's finally getting tucked in, because despite all these people worshiping her, she still has that bedtime and she's being tucked in by her dad, and she can still hear the people cheering for her outside while her dad's like, you know what you signed up for, right? I mean, I love you and I support you, but you know this is a big thing.
Yeah. And then of course the finale is just her own thoughts of, well, I dream of this great future for myself, so.
Yes, her song Goodnight is, like, so fucking heartbreaking. I'm not gonna lie. It's up there with On My Own and, like, accurately describing how a teenage girl would feel. I feel like this, like, she's not even teenage. She's, like, preteen.
I think that she's supposed to be 7 or something like that. I feel like I read that somewhere. 7 years old. Yes.
So she's like seven and she's like, I know how to solve this world. But does that mean I have to give up my life? Does that mean I can't graduate? Does that mean I can't go to prom and all this and be given away by my father on my wedding day? I have to give all of this up on the chance that I save all these like mindless drones outside singing my praises.
Essentially, yeah.
And oh my God, it's so good. So good. Holy shit, I love that song. And really, it's so effective because I don't know if any of these people were ever 7-year-old girls, but like this introspective way of describing that fear of the horrible, like anyone that's ever had to do something risky the next day and knowing that night's sleep before knows this feeling.
I don't think anyone in this band was ever 7-year-old girls. No, gonna be honest with you. But my favorite song is The Truth, which is the next song. Right.
So what plot wise happens in the song The Truth?
This is she literally is going to the Ever Ones and then meets with them and talks to them. I just the woman that sings for Tiara, like when they actually get a different person to sing for her, is so good.
She's so good, and she pops up in a little bit in Beyond Today too.
Yes. Oh my goodness! And that song is so great. In the ending, the first time I listened to it, fucking blew me away with the just. I couldn't do it. Oh my God.
She basically tells like she promised to tell like how great humanity is, but by the time she gets up there, she actually tells the truth of how terrible humanity is.
Well, I think that's what she intended to do the whole time because she thought that would help.
Really?
Essentially.
She thought that like playing to their like negative thoughts would like inspire them. I thought she like tricked everyone.
No, I don't think that she would be doing that.
During the song Beyond Today, she came to that conclusion, whereas she had like this positive outlook, but like discovering looking back.
She was raised to be honest, so she told the truth. Like what she literally thought to be the truth. Which was that yeah, humanity's flawed, but I think we deserve to live. And the Ever Ones, of course, disagree.
As they probably should.
Jess, how many times do I have to discuss with you, you think everyone deserves to die? You did this in fucking Little Shop of Horrors, too. People can be flawed and not deserve to be dead, Jess.
Either way, because of her words, the Ever Ones turn and destroy most of the earth.
You're skipping a song.
Oh, shit.
When she returns and tells them that she failed, humanity goes full out berserk and fights each other like crazy. In the song By the Light of the Funeral Pyres.
Which is probably what would happen in real life, too.
My interpretation, I think this is actually a really important song, is that the Ever Ones told her that she failed, basically, just to see how humanity would react, and humanity reacts by killing each other, so that's when the Ever Ones decide that, yes, they do deserve to die.
If they had reacted better, maybe they would have.
Well, they say that in... I feel like that's hinted at in Exhale and Procession. In Procession, what the fuck are the lyrics with that? It's like, we wore all our sins on our sleeve and we learned her truth too late, essentially. So basically, yes, they fucked up. And then Exhale, the Ever Ones, are the ones that are singing. And they're saying that that Tiara was very brave and all this stuff, which wouldn't make sense if they thought that she was, like, bad, basically, or was wrong. So I think that, yes, they actually wanted her to succeed. They just, the humanity fucking ruined it. I don't know. This is why I think the ending is difficult to fully interpret easily.
And it's not like musicals. Like, if we were to adapt this, there are musicals with hard to interpret endings. Look at Hedwig and the Angry Inch.
I've never seen that, but yes, I'm sure it is.
We'll watch it someday.
I'm sure we will.
It's a great musical. Hard to understand the ending.
The last couple songs are literally just humanity gets destroyed, though.
I feel like there could have been a little bit of glimmer of light to keep it a bit more bittersweet than just, like, bitter.
I feel like there is some in Exhale. I think that there is implied that some people are left, but obviously I think they definitely did kill most of humanity.
So yeah, the album ends with the Everones destroying humanity as they promised when they arrived. Tiara failing, but probably surviving to live another day and rebuild humanity as the utopia that she hoped to build.
And most likely failing.
Tiara is known for failing.
Yes. Hey, guys. So sorry for interrupting in the middle of the podcast here. But I've got a shill. I've got a shill. That's my life. I want you to, give us a follow on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, at Musicals with Cheese. Make sure you leave us a review on iTunes. It's going to be really important for us to get seen. Check us out on Twitter at Cheesy Musicals, or Instagram at Musical Theater Lives. You know, our YouTube page is also Musical Theater Lives. If you want to give us a quick chat. Email us at musicaltheaterlives@gmail.com. I'd love to hear what you have to say, or more so Jess, because he's going to check it. But, you know, that's fine. Let me get you back to the podcast, though.
Now, Andrew.
Yes.
If this were to be adapted into a musical, like a live stage musical, like Hal Prince came up and said, I want to direct Tiara, the musical based on the concept album by the Seventh Wonder, what would you imagine it would be like? I have my own thoughts, but I'm curious as to yours.
I'm assuming we are assuming that the same music is used.
Same music, but I have choices to add a few more things.
Okay. I think that you'd have to personify some of the things, like the You can't, well, you could have a crowd, kind of, but you'd have to have, like, some main people, basically. So you'd have to have more characters, I think. You'd probably want at least a bit of Tiara after the song The Truth, because it feels like she's kind of dropped out after that song. So you'd probably want more of her in the other songs. But, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Alright, you ready for my version of this entire musical?
Okay, I'm sure I'll hate it, but go for it.
Alright, we start with Arrival, which is like an overture, where yes, it's just visual, and we see how the Everones are coming down. Then I would have a new song written about the everyday life of this town that we're in, because most of it takes place in one location, I feel like, and it's a very stylized location. And in this first song, we would set up all the main characters: Tiara, her dad, her mom, and the fact that all these townspeople kind of just view her as someone that's honest. And then after,
so it's like that one song in Beauty of the Beast.
Kind of, but little scaled down.
Bonjour.
Kind of more like Tradition from Fiddler on the Roof.
Okay, I haven't seen that, so.
What was it? First song in Little Shop. That wasn't Little Shop of Horrors. The second
Skid
one.
Row?
Skid Row. Something like that.
Okay.
Where you get all the characters, they introduce their basic wants, and then at the end of that song, everyone's come down. And we get to see the Rock thrown into that normality of that town that we've seen. And the, then it basically continues on until Tiara comes up, states her idea, and she states her goals. The town goes crazy about that idea. And I think somewhere in there, we need to give her father like a general worried song, like before it, like not like super long, because we do.
So are you cutting the song Dream Machines, basically?
Or no, Dream Machines still happens. All the songs still happen up to like right up to Victorious.
Okay.
After Victorious, so
those
I would
are
give
in
her,
order, or there's more songs between those, or
nope, but those are in order. I would cut them down a bit because okay. They're all a bit long.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
Okay.
I would cut them, trim them, or add action to them.
Well, this being a metal album, there is a lot of songs that have like extended guitar solos that wouldn't be necessary in
a musical.
Well,
if they're in there, like, or I would turn the guitar solos into like more stringed instruments and all that. I would change the orchestrations altogether, keep like the basic tone and like the stylistic idea, because I think with the idea of extraterrestrial, the metal feeling is very effective.
I think by the end, you do have to have like a full metal feel to it, though, because
I agree, but it needs to be brought in slowly. You still need to like have that musical theater feel in the first like third. But
maybe
either way,
with the Everyone's song,
I want a song between Tiara and her dad very early on before she is made their messiah. You could either put it into like the city song where you see their relationship, or you could make it their own after the Dream Machines. So I would set up that relationship. So when we have him saying goodnight to her, that has even more of a kick to it. And then I would have it be all the way up there, basically the same, up to good night. And after good night, we would end act one, where she decides, yes, I'm going to do this. It's going to be really hard. And that would be the end of act one.
I think that would be a good place to end. Mm-hmm. Would you come right back in with Beyond Today, basically?
Beyond Today would be the ending where she agrees to do this, and then we see her like go up, maybe a little bit of like we see her go up and we start with the truth, maybe add a little bit of a quick song to set up the Everyone's world, like their mothership and all that and how they run and who they are, set them up, and then she expresses the truth, and the rest of act two is just the destruction. And
would you add more songs into that, basically?
No, but I would add an epilogue, basically, like keep that basically the same, except add a little bit more where Tiara loses her father, obviously, because that has to happen with that relationship set up. That has to be one of the losses she suffers.
I think what you need to do also is introduce a character to sing the song Procession.
I think that should be one of the Dream Machines.
I think the song Procession could potentially be moved to the end as an epilogue.
Mm-hmm.
I might be wrong about that.
Hey, I'm good with it. I just think that Tiara needs one more song to give us a little bit of hope where she's still inspiring people despite most of the population being wiped out, where she's gonna get us over and the other ones are looking down, like, despite the fact that humanity is trashed, they still see hope in it, in this girl. Where the Everones and Tiara and what's remaining all come to an agreement to see where this goes. And that's the bittersweet ending.
I could definitely see that.
And that would be my interpretation if I were to adapt this onto a full Broadway stage.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I think that that would be pretty good, actually.
Is there anything great that you would disagree with?
In all reality, probably not. I only feel it might be a little short if we cut down all the songs and didn't add too many to the second half.
I feel like the second act, like, I imagine this being like 2 hours and 10 minutes. It won't be a super long show.
Yeah.
With the intermission, like, we could probably even do this as a full on hour and 45 minutes.
Now, would you have this be a musical where there's music and then there's talking between?
I don't know. I feel like you'd lose a lot of the energy if you'd have the talking in between. I would turn this into an opera, basically.
Yeah. Which is kind of how it actually functions, since it's an album. So,
mm-hmm. But I feel like you need some movement. Like, as soon as you get these actors moving on stage with this music, the energy will be there and the visuals will be there. And I would do this huge high concept, like Cameron McIntosh money, where you have these visual extravagancies. Like, it is a spectacle to watch.
So you'd have it be like special effect heavy, basically.
Special effect heavy, costume heavy, stylized, very, very stylized. This could not take place in just normal, everyday working class. Oh, no. This has to be
it
like.
It'd be too weird if it did, I think.
Like, this has to be a super stylized world even before the Everones come down, and the Everones have to feel even out of place in this super stylized world.
Well, I mean, I personally picture the album as taking place not in modern day, but in like a future that's almost already apocalyptic, like, essentially.
It has to be not too crazy far in the future, because they have too many modern references. Like, they reference movies, they reference like these things.
Well, movies would still exist in the future. It wouldn't be like I'm picturing like a Mad Max world almost. Like, where it's already like that. Not as far as Mad Max, obviously, but like, it's already kind of.
I'm picturing more like Blade Runner, where there is a society and it's obviously corrupt.
That's more apt, I think, yes. Like, where it's already not great, but yeah, then the Everones are like, fuck that. The whole thing's fucked.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's more interesting. And I think that we've never had like a huge full sci-fi musical. Like, we've had like Starlight Express and stuff, but not like a full like science fiction musical.
Well, I think it's almost like a sci-fi movie plot, where you wouldn't normally see that in like a musical, I don't think.
And I feel like that's a shame, because I think this is so effective.
I would love to see some sci-fi musicals, I think. I think that there's a lot that could be easily adapted. You know what movie I watched recently that I feel like would almost work? The Fly with Jeff Goldblum.
You know what? I can see it.
Can you? I could see that as a musical, right?
I could almost see it as a one-man musical.
I think there'd have to be two. No, there's only four characters in that movie. Like, in all reality. And I think one of them is like a very minor character that you could cut. Like, The Fly could definitely be a musical. Like, that could easily be done, I think.
and it's so high drama, like especially the ending, like I think it would be super like emotionally compelling.
Yeah, I think that that could work. I mean, almost the movie itself is very emotionally compelling, I would say. Like, oh, it's really not.
I'm not shitting on the movie. No, no, the movie's great.
Yeah, so. Yes. Science fiction, make it happen.
All right, Andrew, do you have any qualms or disagreements or thoughts on how you would adapt it to stage, or do you basically agree with my thoughts?
I agree with your thoughts. And honestly, what I'm more interested in is just your thoughts on the album in general, because I did recommend it to you in the first place.
I thought it was great, but I don't think, like, I much preferred the fact that I had to figure out what the story was. My biggest problem with any, like,
okay,
contemporary music is I find myself having a hard time getting into it because I don't care. Whereas this one had an ongoing story where one song led into the other, which led to the other, and it had an ongoing story. So that's what kept me listening. Whereas I can't just turn on, let's just say, a Cardi B album and give a shit from one song to another.
Okay, it's very offensive that you brought up Cardi B when you're talking about Seventh Wonder. I'm actually offended, but
I'm just saying, like, that's for one, and for two, like, all these characters are very well developed, especially Tiara. Like, Beyonce is one of the best female driven songs. It's like one of the more feminist songs I've ever heard, and it is sung by a man.
In a metal band.
I know, and it is so emotionally effective. Like, I want to hear Lea Salonga sing it.
I think that the whole thing is very good.
I think it's great, and I think with a few tweaks, like, I had a few story issues, obviously, and I brought up how I would change them in my adaptation process, which...
I feel like as a concept album, it's not easy to tell a story like that. It's not nearly as easy as you would in like a musical, in my opinion.
And I don't disagree with you. There is very few concept albums that are effective. The original Hadestown album felt very similar to this, where you had these songs that had these disparate storytelling elements. And yeah, and I've never heard such Greek like feeling storytelling elements, like such a town hoisting up a girl and sending it up to the heavens and demanding that she save the day. That feels so ancient Greece to me, yet it is such a futuristic album. And that was the most pretentious thing I'll say this week. So overall, what is your opinion on Tiara?
Holy fuck, listen to this album, please. I love it so much. If I get even a single person to listen to it, I will. I'll be very happy.
I'm not one who is a fan of heavy metal or metal music to begin with. It's just not my thing. I am a fan of storytelling, and this tells the story very effectively using music. And you guys know that is my, like, scene. And I wouldn't recommend it to you if I didn't think it did it well. I highly recommend this.
Even Jess recommends it.
And I hate everything.
And Jess hates everything except musicals.
Yeah, and this is a musical, and I know how it would work as a musical.
Jess hates everything except musicals and Jeff Goldblum turning into a fly. Cheese rating. Jess, I'm going to have you give the cheese rating this week.
My cheese rating for Tiara would be radioactive cheese from space.
You are not nearly as good at this as I am.
What's your cheese rating, Andrew?
My cheese rating? Oh, fine, fine cheese. Very good. I don't have a cheese rating. It is very cheesy, though. This is a really cheesy.
It is a great album that is very cheesy, and I think that's why I liked it.
All right. If you actually listen to this, thanks. I don't know why you did, but thank you.
Please tell us your opinion. Like, go out, find TR. It's probably on YouTube or something. Tell us your opinions, how you would see it as a musical, or if you even think it could be an effective musical. Please leave it to us in the comments.
And I love you.
Yeah. Thank you guys for listening. I'm really grateful for it. Please, will you leave us a review on iTunes? If you leave us a review on iTunes, you get entered into a drawing for a $20 Amazon gift card. You could be a winner, and you can only win if you review us on iTunes.
And very little people are going to do that, so you're very likely to win.
You're very likely to win, so get to reviewing, and let's see if you're the lucky winner. Follow us on Twitter at Cheesy Musicals, also on Instagram at Musical Theater Lives, our YouTube page, of course, Musical Theater Lives. If you have any questions, or if you want to let us know that you were the winner of the Musical Theater like challenge of iTunes reviews, email us at musicaltheaterlives@gmail.com.
And if you guys didn't like the topic of this episode, well, stick around for next one, because you will like next one.
Next week is going to be great. You are going to love it, I promise you.
All right. Have a good day, everyone.
Thank you guys for listening. We'll see you next week.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway, and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but yeah, not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.